Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and you are in for quite a show. Each Thursday, we give you an opportunity to get that therapy session that we all need from Dr. Debbie Green. And today, we're going to take a look at something that many of us do not realize that we have been doing for too many years, and that is withholding the emotions that are creating such inner turmoil. And when we don't release those emotions in the form of tears, crying, and expression that helps us to feel what we're feeling openly, those emotions get bottled up. And when they get bottled up, like a volcano, they can explode. And sometimes, once they are released, it's like a floodgate. The tears just won't stop coming. Have you ever had that experience where you could not stop crying no matter what you did? Or have you had times that you wanted to cry but couldn't? Out of the heart flows the issues of life. The heart holds all the emotions of your experiences since you've been born, it is encased in your heart's corridors. When the heart is full to capacity from the suppressed emotions, several things can happen. A person's behavior drastically changes for the worst. The heart attempts to communicate with the mind to release tension, pressure, or stress due to the severity of the issues. Now, of course, if the issues are compounded and cycling, the heart can develop emotional paralysis and cause an increase in anger. And if this mental confusion continues, it can possibly lead to self-destruction. So these are the issues that we must prepare for as we strive to overcome the effects of bottled up anger. Now, on the other hand, if the heart attempts successfully to communicate with the mind and fear is banished and removed, the heart will weld and tears can be released and removed. And that removes the toxicity and provides relief from pressure. So join Dr. Debbie Green as we discuss the vital human experience and understand the heart and mind communications. And we invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to join the conversation. You are listening to The Female Solution, and you can join Dr. Debbie Green live on Facebook. Simply go to Soulful Solutions. You'll see Dr. Debbie Green. And we want you to be ready to be transparent as we really take a look at the deepest emotions that can transform us from the inside out. These are those emotions that have perhaps been bottled up inside of you all of your life and have not been released. And when they are allowed to be expressed, you may be surprised at the intensity that you feel. And sometimes it's so intense you can actually lose control. So we want you to call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. And we'll open your mic and get your thoughts, and we want you to let go. Release that emotion. Let that heart speak. We'll be back.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families.
if we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
You know, sometimes we walk around with the bullseye on. Yeah, I said the bullseye. And everybody got a target in their head. They got a dart that they're throwing. And what we just lean back. We don't even shield ourselves anymore. The love of self is very important. But guess what? Self-rescue is more important than that. You have to rescue yourself. It takes all of you to save you, every last bit, mind, body, and soul, to save you. Why is that so important? Because guess what? It's enough people on this earth that's dying, baby. You don't need to be in that population. You don't need to be in that number. Don't worry. It's enough of them out there that's self-destructing. You don't need to be in that number. So if you're in that line, get out that line. If that checkoff box is in your head, remove it. Because you got too much living to do. And guess what? You may not be living, like I said, I'm living for my children. I'm living for my husband. I'm living for my, for somebody else. Well, ding dong, check this out. You ain't got but one heart. You ain't got but two eyes and two feet. So all them eyes you trying to look through to live and make choices for, and them feet you trying to walk through, no wonder you so tired. No wonder you so downtrodden. You know, our topic today is real good, and I had to start off this way because this is personal to me. It's personal. And it's called understanding the welding of the heart. And you say, well, Dr. Dell, what is the welding of the heart? What is that? That's when your heart been holding your issues so long till it's full and it's running over. It doesn't have any more room to put it. The memory of all of those things are encased in your mind, your subconscious mind, and the fear that you experience in any of those things from the time you were born to this day have been recorded. It's been recorded in every cell of your being. Yep. That's where triggers come from. Okay? So I had to start it off like that because, you know, sometimes we get really abandoned. Okay? We get abandoned by people. We get abandoned by ourselves because we've been abandoned by people. We've been separated. We've been stepped on. We were chewed up and spit out, baby. I mean, come on now. But guess what? You're still here. And you say, Dr. Dell, I just don't want to be here. I don't want to go through it anymore. I want it to stop. Well, stop it there. What you waiting on? Who you got to ask for permission? Where is it written down that you got to be unhappy to make somebody else happy? That ain't no law. Did you make a law? That ain't no regulation. It's too many of us, y'all, just pouring ourselves out into the world. Into the world. Into the world. The world is everything on the outside of you. It doesn't matter who it is, what it is, what it contains, what circumstance, what consequence, what situation. What repercussion? When is it going to be a time? Okay, guess what? It's almost New Year. Hey, you got number. Air an opportunity to rescue yourself. I'm here to motivate you today. Is that okay? I'm here to empower you today. Is that all right with you? Because you need that. We cannot allow and lay down and allow life to keep throwing things at us, and we don't know how to throw it back. You know, a good friend told me one day, she was actually going through a hard time and, you know, for years of depression and anxiety, and she woke up and she said, Dr. Dell, I realized something. All of these years I've been walking around with all of this baggage. And I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to leave this earth. But the one thing that I cannot deal with any longer, living and breathing and dying inside. There's enough of people that's doing that, y'all. We got walking, land, breathing, landmines, because the welding of the heart has not been vandalized. They become numb, some of them become so numb, they don't even value life anymore. So that well, you know, because I compared it to a well that, you know, has water in it, okay? So when the storms come in life, the well fills up with water. Now, the person that's retrieving the water should dip the water out so the well doesn't overflow. So it keeps it at a balance. But that doesn't always happen. So the water keeps overflowing, and it overflows, and it overflows. And the heart is just like that. It tries to communicate with the mind. It tries to communicate, hey, up there, can you give me a break? You want me to hold all this stuff inside and not relieve nothing? What's wrong with that picture? A lot. What does the mind do when it's under pressure? It's confused. It's hard to concentrate, hard to focus. What does the heart do when it's under pressure? It becomes agitated, angry, because anger is an emotion. Guilt, shame, remorse, sorrow, despair, all of these are emotions. So if these things keep happening over and over and over again, you keep cycling through this, what are you doing to your being? What are you doing? It is called self-destruction, people. There's no other way to look at it. And you say, well, Dr. Deb, I can't control it. That is not true. That is not true. You can control your being. Because the thing about it is we start focusing on what we see, on what we hear. We focus on what people are doing. We focus on the job. We focus on the children. We focus on our mothers, our sisters, our brothers, our friends, even our enemies. But the last thing that we don't focus on is ourselves. When you're crying out from the inside, and nobody can hear you, but your being is asking you, what are you going to do? You have anxiety. You go through bits of depression. You can't hardly eat, or you eat too much. You can't sleep, or you don't sleep at all, or you sleep too much. Your being is trying to communicate with you. When are you going to listen? What has to happen before you listen? What has to happen before you listen? Do you have to end up crumbling underneath pressure? What is it? What has to happen? Well, let me tell you something, baby. This is the season right now that you got to do something about it, okay? You can no longer act like you don't know. You can no longer act like you're a victim of life. You can no longer deny it. You can no longer keep it buried. You can no longer be afraid. Your being, you know, God created this image. For those who believe in God, God created this image, and it's not an image of a picture or a face. It's the image of a spirit. Your physical being, it's just has the spirit, the soul encased. And if that thing is miserable in there, y'all, guess what? You're going to be miserable outside. Sickness is going to come. That's when diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, chronic illness, pain all in the body. Because the being is crying, out to you. Say, what are you going to do with these issues that you have flowing out of your heart? When is it going to come a time that you're going to realize that you have to be totally responsible for yourself? If you look for somebody else to do it, you'll be looking. If you're looking for someone else to fix your life, repair your life, heal your life, you'll be looking for eternity, baby, because it ain't there. It's not there. I don't care what they told you. I don't care how much they love you. I don't care how many times they are near you. I don't care how much they hold your hand. It's not there. And you know, there's so many hurting people in the world. Oh, my God. There's so many hurting people in the world, y'all. When people hurt people, when they pick up them guns and they shoot each other and they mutilate each other, this is what I'm talking about. The heart has waxed cold. All the love gone. When I hurt you, I hurt myself. If I hurt you with my words, I tear down my being. If I hurt you with anything, I hurt myself. Why are we not realizing the pain that's taking control of our lives? This gun violence, and people blame it on the gun. You can't blame it on a piece of metal. You blame it on the person that's holding the gun. That person is a walking, breathing landmine. And if you know what a landmine is, when you apply pressure to it, it blows up and destroys everything around. That's how murdercide happens. Yes, that's what Dr. Depp said. Murdercide. And you want to know what that is? What is murdercide? Murdercide is when someone takes a gun, a knife, or any object, kills everyone around them, murders them intentionally, and then kills themselves. So no one lives to tell the tale of pain. No one lives to tell the tale of, I survived. No, nobody's surviving no more. People are playing for keeps because of this welding in their heart, the pain that they're carrying underneath rage, underneath homicide, underneath suicide, major depression, any of those things, is pain. Unexplainable, unconquerable, unresolved pain. Wouldn't it be so simple we could just take a Tylenol to end all of this? Huh. No, baby, this ain't no physical pain. This is mental torture. Mental torture. And you say, well, Dr. Dan, what can we do about it? Well, we look at ourselves. And, you know, it's easy to get agitated. It's easy to get irritable. It's easy to feel ourselves, you know, overwhelmed over and over again. And, you know, if we got a safe mind or executive functioning that is fully operable and working correctly, we can pull ourselves back to a safety. But a lot of us that's walking this earth can't do that. They cannot pull themselves back. They're like a kite caught up without someone holding on to it, and it's hitting the light poles and it's flying away. And then it's too late after they've done such an atrocity of injury and death and chaos. We wonder what goes through the mind of an individual that takes a gun, walks into a grocery store, walks into any place, and just pulls the trigger. How do they wake up that morning? More so, how do they go to sleep? Did they intentionally do this. I'm waking up because I'm going to do this. And, yeah, no rationale. So the weld in that heart is dry. It's dry. Thank God for the storms of life that keeps us in a certain posture. But when we can't even realize the storms of life, when we can't even understand, you know, how to deal with the difficulties of day-by-day challenges because of something that we carry deep down inside ourselves that's been putrid, that's been toxic, that's been poison. And now it comes out as this horrible, horrible thing that all eyes can see and all ears can hear because somebody wants to be noticed. So they figured, oh, let me go and take life. I want to be like everybody else. Oh, my God, you got the copycats? And then they realize after it's all said and done, they've lost themselves, more so their souls, for hurting and destroying another human being. When does the violence end? Is the question. When does it end? When does it stop? When does it stop? And, you know, I've been here for 57 years. I don't mind telling you how old I am. I thank God for every moment, every day. And I'm telling you, when I was a child, we didn't have social media, so maybe I didn't know how much death was on the land. So being that we have social media, we hear everything. Nothing is spared. So I don't know if that's a good thing, y'all. Some things we may not need to know about, but then again, we might need to know because if something's real close to us, we would want to know the danger of it. But the heart of man, it's dwindling. The love of life is disappearing. The love that God created and wanted for us is waxed cold. I don't know what the percentage is, but I know one thing. It's high. The percentage is very, very high. As you know it, you can look at your, you know, look at your social media. You can listen to it on the radio. You can see it on the TV. I don't care how you see it, but guess what? It's there. It's there. Okay, I'm going to stop rambling. I'm just so overwhelmed with this topic because it's so surreal because this is what we're dealing with on an everyday level. I just think that, again, we have to really pay attention. Everybody who has an ear to hear or eye to see me on Facebook or YouTube, please stay on alert. I didn't say paranoid. I said precautious. Just be careful how you're walking throughout the earth right now. Because there's a lot of unseen things that you don't know about. So just be cautious of that. I want to also go into what causes the heart to weld and the different paradigms of this topic. One part of it is, if you recall me talking about the storms of life, the storms of life leak and they, like I said, fill up the well of the heart. And when the heart is filled, again, it overflows. If there is a point of normalcy of handling those situations, because some people don't suppress, but a lot of people do. If you have a habit of suppression, I suggest you stop it now. Suppressing it, which in definition means to hold back feelings or thoughts about any given situation that disturbs you. If you don't tell it to somebody, you need to tell it to a book. I don't care what you do. It just needs to come out. When it actually entraps in the heart for long periods of time, what happens is it builds up this thing called emotional residue. Emotional residue, if you're not careful, will turn into emotional paralysis. And you know the word paralysis means to be inoperable in certain parts of, you know, it's just what it is. You get paralyzed. If you get paralyzed in your emotions, then you'll get stuck there. And if you get stuck in guilt, you can get stuck in anger, shame, remorse, sorrow, grief, because all of these things are felt by the heart. The brain only has a regulator of emotion, but it cannot control how much capacity of the energy of emotion that is consumed in the heart. So these things start to overflow and produce other things because our being is full of nothing but power. I mean, literally, power. We are so magnetic. We are so metabolically, and, you know, made to we literally will attract those things that keep us in fear, those things that keep us angry, or guilt, or whatever the case is. If it becomes toxic, we will attract it out of the atmosphere, which then creates more things in the heart. And we don't have no understanding of that. Which means when these things start to happen, we just think we're experiencing a domino effect. Or we'll say, oh, I can't believe this is happening to me again. Or I can't.
Knives to hurt someone, it's because that pain
is so ferocious inside that they can all human nature away. You got to know everything. Anything that has life wants to breathe.
But I mean, it takes life. If it has to take life, how can it be life? If it's a life taker, that means it has to be walking, breathing death. I hope y'all getting this. Because I'm going to tell you this. Dr. Dad didn't just start this up. This was given to me by the Divine One, our God. And I am going to keep this going until I want every ear to hear it. This is the topic, because this is just part one, by the way. Because no one's doing anything. No one's doing anything. Walking death is around us. Yes, that's what it is. Walking, breathing death is around us. And the crazy part about this is we don't know until it surfaces. Until you hear, oh, somebody had a gun in their hand in Walmart, shot 6 people. Here, someone went into a school and killed 18 children. Here, someone's in a grocery store. This is real, y'all. This is real as it comes. This is real. I'm not going to put a cap on it. I'm not going to pretend. It is real. This is real. The government's not doing anything. The state, the county, the church. All we do is, like, we're just sitting ducks around this. Literally, sitting ducks. But I'm going to tell y'all something. We got to pray. For all those who understand prayer, please lift up a prayer for peace on this land. Because I really think that we're in. And this year is gone. This year wound up so quickly. It's gone. Now we get ready to open up another can of nails, as I call it, 2023. What should this year hold? It starts with us. It starts with you. It starts with me. Well, I see my executive producer is sitting back. I'm going to go ahead and put okay.
And rising.
Hey there, love. How are you?
Oh, well, I am.
How are you doing this morning?
Oh, another fantastic day. So wonderful to be alive and part of this wonderful day. And there are many people who are terrified right now because of the things that you've spoken about, and they don't know what to do. And it can be very frustrating to feel like a sitting duck when you don't know when the next explosion is coming. So this is a critical subject we have to talk about. And we have to know that there is a solution. And the reason why we're going through this with such intensity is to motivate us to aim for and achieve the solution. We've been living in a society that is dysfunctional for too long. And we've allowed the dysfunction, and now we see what it produces in terms of the extremity of the stress and anxiety that explodes. And an explosion, well, you know, just like a bomb, things shatter and everybody around gets injured. So we don't want an explosion. So therefore, we have to change the society that creates conditions that make people explode. But I know we've got to take a short break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about some things that, and I'm sure as a therapist you have seen, but things that we can do to begin to diffuse situations, especially within ourselves, knowing that we are often holding on to a lot of internal rage, and some of us have even unleashed it. at our loved ones, and that's why our relationships have ended, because we could not get a hold of the emotional distress, and we let it explode at the one we loved and said or did some things that are now unforgivable. So we have to take a look at ourselves first. But we'll be back and talk about that right after this quick break. And for those who are, well, we've got a few on our switchboard to open your mics, but if you're listening online or watching us on Soulful Solutions on Facebook, feel free to call in, 515-605-9325, and press 1 if you'd like to speak. And if you want to just type
on
in
YouTube,
your comments.
Absolutely.
Or
on YouTube.
Watch us on YouTube and Facebook, Soulful
Please
Solutions.
Please subscribe. Absolutely. Please subscribe
and
to our channel.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
Be right back. Stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Sasan Essentials is re-engineering what health looks like by leading you to the best wellness initiatives in the world. Start your coaching plan today and create a new paradigm of health. Click here to learn more.
Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host and our executive producer of The Female Solution, Naima Latif. And you want to take a caller before we go into that conversation?
Yes, let's take a caller and area code 773-450. Your mic is open. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments regarding those pent-up emotions.
Graham Rising, hallelujah, greetings, and good morning to all. What a wonderful day. That's a wonderful subject. Yeah, very much. I appreciate it so much, Debbie. You know that concept of fear.
Josiah from Chicago. Thank you so much for calling. So tell me, how did you handle emotions? I know a lot of men were told not to cry and were teased if they did show any emotions. What was it like for you growing up? Were you told as a little boy, you know, big boys don't cry or men don't cry, and then, you know, bottled your emotions, or did you feel free to express them?
Kind of both. My parents would have allowed me to express myself, but society's like, men don't cry, suck it up.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I was going to say, is that part of the problem is it's a fear factor. We aren't sure how to deal with our emotions. Nobody is interested in emotional health. That is too important. But what ties it together is the interesting part is that deals with identity. And in America, black people have problems dealing with identity big time, especially as a boy growing into a man in America. It's like amazingly difficult. You're trying to follow a society that's driven by white people that ain't got nothing to do with you culturally, and it doesn't even fit. But you're trying to fit in. It's like trying to fit into a religion that doesn't even make any sense. But that's what we end up doing. The answer, of course, would be to dig inside yourself. Find out who you are. As a young man, I was very shy, all the way up until maybe college. Then I broke out, started playing basketball, all this other stuff. But before that, I was more like to myself, scholarly on that. And the other piece is you got students that are cutting you, talking about you. You know, nobody ever deals with that. When you're young, how they're calling you big nose, all this type of stuff, calling you ghost or you're too black or some type of stupid stuff like that. This is what children have to deal with. And part of it is like from a slavery incident and the people that raised you, and you're still following something that's been gone hundreds of years, but you're still practicing the same thing. So what we need to do is stop all of it, especially stop the pain, because you can see, just like you said, these people in such pain, they walk into a church or any store and just start shooting people because they're mad, or they'll go to a former job site and start shooting people up because they're angry. Nobody teaches anybody to deal with those emotions, but the best part of it is this. There is a solution. Part of the solution is you can learn to first love yourself and be the light in the room. When there's darkness and there is no light at all, you'll have to transform yourself to be the light. When you become the light and you dig deep inside yourself, now you can see the problems of everyone and be a piece of a solution, even if it's nothing but a few words of confidence you give someone or a helping hand. But society doesn't seem to be built that way traditionally. We do this number where you're poverty-stricken and I'm middle class and I'm high class, and people spit on each other in a hierarchy that does not work. I don't know how I can be successful and not help the people on the bottom. That does not make any sense. When you get to the top, you got all these great skills. What are you supposed to do with them? Die with them? Why don't you mentor some people and go in the streets and help some people that need the real help? That's part of the problem. Lastly, religion teaches foolishness. They teach saints and sinners. What the hell is that? If a person's a saint and saved by grace, they were a sinner. So what are we doing running around? I'm saved and I'm somebody special. No, you're not. If you're saved by grace, go help somebody that's hurting and sick. You can do it. But that's not how we're taught. We're taught to look down on them and talk about them instead of helping. And until society shifts that and stops this war on each other, then none of us will survive, because at the end of the day, we all need each other. So when white people came up with this idea about let's do something to blacks because they were afraid that if black people associated with them, they would wipe out their race, that's what that foolishness is about. But at the same time, we got to ignore that and find our identity, become the light, and do the change of the paradigm. You can actually reach that vertical consciousness and reach anybody. I reach anybody, even people on the ground. I got to get on the ground in my white suit, no problem, because that's where they need it. My white suit makes me no difference. They're just clothes that can be washed. I'm getting on the ground. We need more of that, people helping people. How can you survive without helping someone else? That's the whole cycle of life. Appreciate y'all. Keep doing what you do.
Well, thank you so much for your comments. Well, you know, I have to say that I think that Obadiah has really hit the nail on the head in terms of what it is that this condition is pushing us to do, and that is to help each other instead of looking down on each other and feeling ourselves separate from each other. This is a divine law that we have to learn in order for us all to create the kind of society that we desire to live in, one that is loving and kind and peaceful. He speaks of a helping hand, and it, you know, the image came to mind of a person drowning.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going down for the third time, you need somebody to give you a hand and pull you out. If you could do it yourself, then you wouldn't be drowning. And so that's, you know, when a person has grown up in an environment where they have received no emotional support, you know, perhaps raised by dysfunctional families, dysfunctional parents or absent parents, and then they're in a hostile environment at school, maybe they're bullied, maybe they have a teacher who's inattentive, and so they don't have anybody to give them that inner strength that would pull them out of the sense of unworthiness and despair. Like a person drowning, there's nothing to hold on to. We have to reach out to people and not expect them to just snap out of it. When you're going through a depression, when you're going through distress, you don't snap out of it. You need a helping hand. And that's, like you said, Dr. Deb, that's often what's missing. The absence of counselors when someone has just gone through a family tragedy. You've just seen your best friend shot and you're supposed to go to school and everything be okay. And then when you've got this rage bottled up in you and you explode and get into a fight, you get suspended from school. And no one sees the fact that you are grieving. When Hadiya Pendleton, this is the young lady who got shot, and you may know about it because it was nationally known because the First Lady Michelle Obama came to Chicago to her funeral because she had just performed at the president's inauguration. And when she was shot to death by another young man when she was out in the park with some students after they had taken their final exam, and of course, she was the wonderful honor student. Everybody was, oh, what a tragedy. She was shot by these thugs, and an organization formed, a group of young people formed an organization called Project Orange Tree, and what it was to heighten awareness about the need to reach out and help people who are in trouble. It just so happened this young man who shot her, he was grieving over the fact that his friend was shot, and so he was seeking to retaliate, and I guess, of course, people shoot and aim shoot at somebody and hit the wrong person. Not even the person he was aiming at was the right person, but he was in that state of grief where, like the landmine you talk about, that explodes. If someone had perhaps reached out to him, gave him that helping hand, helped him out of the water where he was drowning in grief, maybe he would not have picked up that gun and shot at someone and ended the life of a young lady who had all of the potential in the world, just coming back from the White House and everything, and honor student and all of that. But her life was affected by somebody who needed help, and the society didn't help him. And so he reacted. He exploded. He was the landmine that exploded. And we have these all over. These are not bad people. They're people who need help. That's what we're being challenged to understand. Not look at people or who are the good people, who are the bad people. You know, like he said, who's the saint and who's the sinner. Everybody is the same. We're all responding to our circumstances. And some people don't have any help when they are drowning. And so we can't keep judging them as bad and giving them more pain. That's like you've seen somebody drowning and you pour some more water on them. That's what we're doing to people. People need help. They're in pain. And if we could give them the love and nurturing they needed to have, then they could heal from the pain that they're enduring. But what do? We tell people, suck it up, shut up, don't show any emotion, get over it. And they don't get over it. They hold it in and hold it in and hold it in until they explode. And one thing that we should know, money doesn't make pain go away. I was listening to, and I'm sure everybody's talking about the interview that Will Smith did with on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. First time he talked about the Oscar slap, you know, and slapping Chris Rock. And then he admitted that he had all of this rage bottled up inside of him. He even came out with his book, his book Will, which talked about just watching his father beat up his mother and the anger he felt, the shame he felt at not defending her and all of that. So, and then so many other things can happen in your life. And just having money and fame doesn't make it go away. So the pain that he felt, the rage that he felt, the hurt that he felt, and all of these things going on right at the same time, getting ready to win this great award and of achievement, but he still was that hurt little boy. He still was in pain, and all the other things that happen in your life that can cause you rage that no one wants you to express because you're supposed to be happy and smiling. Well, you've got to be sad about you're rich, you're famous. But you don't know the pain people are in. So when it exploded, everybody in the world saw it. And this is what happens sometimes. By the time you explode, you're so out of control. It happens at the worst time to the worst people who haven't done anything to you. But you're like that landmine. A little bit of pressure. Bang! There it is. And there's so many people that are like that. And that's what we got to see the signs of it so we can step in and help before it's too late.
Absolutely. But again, because we have billions of people on this earth, Naima, and again, you don't know where the landmines are. Mm. It would be a wonderful thing if we had, some type of apparatus or some way to figure out when a person is at that point. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, like you said, you know, we would want to help them. Your society should want to help them. But it's very difficult to actually rescue a person that is unrescuable. And I mean, and it's you're dealing with so many circumstances. If you were going to help, if that person could be fully saved, just getting into these areas of impulsivity that you're talking about. I mean, the slap that Will did, that's because of his built-up, pinned-up emotions inside of him, and then being challenged by, someone outside of himself, like his wife or whatever the case, that looked at him. All it took was a look, and then all of those things then, put him on the spot at that point, which was a trigger, okay?
Yeah.
So we have to look at how people are dealing with their triggers. Now, when we were, like you said, you mentioned when they, like when we were young and when we were put in positions that we don't have any control over. Because first of all, we were taught to be codependent. We were taught to do what you're supposed to do, when to do it, how to do it, and how well you should do it. So you did not have a mental paradigm of your own identity. You didn't know who you was. You didn't have a clue. All you knew is you were a human doing, okay? So you went from a human doing to hopefully developing into a human being. You see what I'm saying? A human being is like, okay, I can be in myself, and I can rest in myself. I can be content with me. But again, if you don't know who you are, anything can destroy your still pond. Anything can destroy your peace if you don't know who you are, because you are what they call adaptable to everything around you. You know what I'm saying? You adapt to dysfunction. You adapt to anger. You adapt because you don't know who you are. And so these, like, dealing with bullying, because bullying is not just in the school. It's also on the work. You know, it's work-related as well. But not only that, we can take it to a whole other level. Bullying even happens at home. You have sisters and brothers bullying each other, you know. So bullying goes all the way across the board. So that's another dysfunction that we have in our society. One can't even express themselves efficiently enough without causing pain. Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to call you a name. I'm going to make you feel less than, and that person, again, don't know who they are, don't have a clue, you know. So they become, okay, well, I'm so used to being told what to do at a young age. So, okay, that's what they're saying. They say I am this, but nobody's at home telling me who I am. So I don't know who I am. I have no idea. So now they adapt to that toxic mindset, and that mindset then filters. It filters deep down inside their being. And this is how these things are created, which is self, you know, I'm going to have to use words that's not in the dictionary to describe what I am, because I'm just one of those people that describe in words. We said self, you know, self-rupture, because we're ruptured. We're ruptured. We are ruptured, okay? I'm not saying injury. No, we ain't hurt. We pass all that. We ruptured, okay? So anything that's ruptured has to be sutured back together. But guess what? Ain't nobody suturing nothing. So now we deal with young people.
We're now hemorrhaging from the
rupture. Of course.
Yeah.
All over everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere we go, we're hemorrhaging. Hemorrhaging over everywhere, right? Okay, so fast forward here, because we want to find what is the solution. Love? Love is the first thing. Self-love. One has to develop self-love, but if you've been hating yourself since you've been 9 years old,
How do you get a message that you're worthy of love? That's the biggest challenge. Somebody who's gone through a life of being bullied, and there's the collective bullying of racism or sexism or classism, when you as the individual because the group you're in, the society mistreats you as a whole. So you're constantly getting the message that you're unworthy of respect. And unless you encounter some teacher, some spiritual guide, somebody who can give you that helping hand out of the water in which you're drowning, you will not know how to love yourself, because nobody else is loving you. So that's the challenge that we have with people who need help, but no one helps them. And depending on what you are, you can be in a society where it seems like the collective body has agreed that you deserve to be mistreated, and so you are. And we see it all the time. I look at the young man,
absolutely,
Columbine, who did the killing. And this was a calculated thing that they did, the murder side that they did, the mass shooting. But nobody saw it. And yet everybody knew that those young men had been bullied and made fun of and all of that, and they kind of had a little secret society. They stuck to themselves. Nobody saw the signs, not even their parents, that they were stockpiling weapons in the house. But no one saw the warning signs. No one saw the red flags. And so when this thing exploded, that should have alerted us as a nation that the environment we have created in the school system is toxic, because this is what it creates.
Absolutely.
The merciless teasing and bullying, and no adult steps in to stop it and teach ethical behavior. We allow it to happen, like, oh, kids will be kids, you know, children will be children. We do that, and then when one of them explodes, then we wonder how it happened. But we chose not to see the signs that they were in pain. We chose not to see the bullying. We chose not to see it. And so
exactly.
I think part of it is that we have to choose to see. And I think, oh, no, we had some comments on the screen here. Let me see if we got a caller on the switchboard as well.
Okay. I think it's extremely important to know that factors play a huge role in self-destruction, okay? It is, you know, again, people feel victimized. They feel victimized to their present situation, feel victimized to anyone that's talking down to them, and they don't know how to respond. They react. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the frontal lobe is not even developed until you're 25, so your rationale, your reason, your logic is not there. So you want to know why, you know, the younger population are so impulsive? Because they don't rationale. They don't reason. And even if the ones who are past 25 years old, you know what I'm saying, they've been traumatized, you know, early in life, it affects the executive functioning. It does. They can't deal with pressure. Trauma breaks the mold. It breaks the mold to the mind. And it's hard to deal with, you know, pressure unless you've been taught. You have to be in a good therapeutic psychoeducation program that you really took seriously and know how to cope and conquer yourself, not the situation. But the situation has not changed. You see what I'm saying? Whatever the trauma is, whether it happened in 19-whatever, 2000, whatever, that situation doesn't change. What has to change is how you are looking at yourself involved
how you see
in
yourself.
That situation.
That's
yes,
it.
It's the perception.
That's it. We got to take a
perception.
Yes. We got to take another quick break, but then we'll come back. I want to take a look at how you see yourself after an assault. What is it that changes inside a person that can make them feel suicidal after someone has assaulted them? What is it that is broken in them after they've been hurt by someone else? That's what I'd like to know. And for those who are on our switchboard, if you got a comment, press 1. That'll light your number up, and we'll come right to you and get your comments. We'll be right back.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery, the African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African-American Psychic Trauma.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
And become suicidal. And I'm trying to understand what is it about being violated in such a personal way that makes a person turn on themselves in a sense and become suicidal, like, I don't want to live anymore. I want to die. I just want to end this. I don't want to live anymore. What is it they're thinking about themselves that makes them want to take their own lives after someone else has violated them?
Well, there's several factors. Now, that's not a one-way answer, so I have to come from this platform. Usually when there's a violation, like we said, sexual violation, a sexual violation is when that person then feels as though this person has stole something from them. And they stole it from them, but by violence. And so now they're looking at the self as being this hollow, hollow, hurting being, not worthy, unclean type of feeling. That's what they think. You violated me. You took something from me. You gave me something that I no longer wanted, and I don't want to live this life in this body any longer. You see, I don't want to live the thought of this, what you've done, is because it's permeated, which means that the act of that violent episode becomes a memory in every cell of that person's body. So that's how PTSD is developed. It's developed because of the memory that's stored from that trauma. So they don't want to relive that. And so that, like, you know, when it's done, immediately the brain goes into arrest mode, which is threat mode, and they constantly cycle. They start having dreams. They experience daydreams and nightmares. I call them daymares and nightmares. They start having the thoughts of, you know, what if they're coming back again? You know, are they going to come and attack me again? You know, what am I going to tell my family? You know, how are they going to look at me? Who I got to explain this to? I have to go to the police. I mean, it's so many things that happen in that person's mind at that particular time. And if that person wasn't strong before this happened, if they didn't have any strong strength of resilience or identity or a mindset of normalcy, if you can say that, then this just makes it like 1,000 times worse.
So I guess it's kind of,
you know,
like,
because that's what trauma time does. So again, you know, like in a normal set, you're like, oh, why would you want to hurt yourself because of this happening? But again, that's what they think. You know, I don't want to face this. This is a new life for me. I am no longer the same person.
Well, I mean, because your body is your temple, it's the house where you live. That's like living in a house that's been robbed and vandalized. You know, you come home and there's graffiti all over your walls and places all torn up and, you know, and just you don't want to live there because the memory of what happened there, and it doesn't feel like home anymore.
Right.
Because
someone has
invaded your space and destroyed the sense of peace in it, left it in disarray, left signs of the violation all over the house, and
it's
they spray painted graffiti made it unlivable. Even if you try to scrub it up and fix it up, you still, the feeling of my home has been violated. I don't want to live here anymore, because every day I live here, I relive this feeling of not being safe. Someone's coming in and robbed me and you know, all of that.
Yes, all of that is some.
So that's, I can understand how that very personal violation would
lead a person
to not want to live in that body anymore, because that body is now, it carries the memory of a feeling of unsafety and, like you say, a fear it could happen again. I could be re-traumatized. I don't want to be re-traumatized. I don't feel like I'm protected. So I can imagine all of that would change a person's life forever.
That's a major life storm that could cause extreme welding in the heart.
Mm.
Yeah. See, this is that's a pure example of a life storm. That's what I call a life storm. You know, and a life storm, it will cause so much issues emotionally, to the point where, again, that person wants to self-destruct, you know, they may even become homicidal. You know, they may look for the person that has violated them and then self-destruct, perhaps, because they don't want to face what they've done. You know, so they figure they just eliminate everything. You see what I'm saying? So that's a pure example of what life storms can do. However, if that person wasn't strong prior to all of this happening, it just gets worse. So if there's anybody at the side of my voice that has been violated in any type of way, know that you are not the violation. You are not the violation, and your temple is still yours. Your being is still yours. It doesn't matter who touched it, how they touched it, it is still yours. So, you know, you have to go back into what they got, you know, regaining your strength. And the only way to take your strength back is forgiveness. You have to forgive yourself. You know, you forgive yourself not because of something you allowed, because you didn't allow it. You know, instead you forgive yourself just for holding it. In, you know, as far as holding the pain. And it's not your fault that you're doing this. It's just that's the only way you know how to do it. But again, you know, the next thing, you forgive the violator. You know, because you will always be a victim if you always think that you are a victim. So you have to make a choice today. And I'm so sorry, it's not an option for you to keep thinking that you are a victim, because the longer you think that, it's the more life source you're going to lose. And victimization only causes more victimization. You will always feel victimized by something. You're triggered and you'll feel a victim. It just attracts. Victimization attracts more victimization.
Victimization attracts more victimization. And that's an energetic law that I wish people could really grasp, is that if you keep dwelling on the feeling of being a helpless victim, you will create the condition of being a helpless victim. And we have seen people who you know, they're robbed over and over again, they're assaulted over and over again, and it's not blaming the victim, it's helping one who is attracting that because of the vibration they're holding, to understand that they are attracting the very thing they don't want. So understanding forgiveness means understanding the energetic frequency that you are attracting when you hold on to memories of hurt. You're attracting more hurt. It's difficult for people to understand this if they don't know how this energy system we're a part of works. The whole law of attraction, it works. And sometimes when we are holding on to anger, believing that if I hold this anger, then I'll feel like, you know, I'm attacking the person somehow who hurt me. But they say unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It only hurts us. And this is why, you know, when we have a history of what happened in terms of the enslavement experience, but it was an experience. It's not an identity, and it's not happening now. And even though there may be people who are unkind, they don't have any power over you. And it took me a minute to understand that no one has any power over me at all. The only power anyone has is the power to either be kind or unkind. Mm-hmm. And that's on them. They're going to experience the consequences of those choices, but they cannot define who I am by anything they say or do to me. They cannot change the reality of who I am. This is what people need to understand if they have been raised in an environment where no one has made them feel worthy and they don't know who they are as the child of God, as the divine idea expressed they don't know that. No one's ever told them. They've never felt that. They never felt the love. They never felt acceptance. So they don't know how to give it to themselves. And those are the people, like you say, they're all among us. We can't see the signs of when they're about to explode. They're unloved. They're angry. They're fearful. They're vengeful. They are ready to explode. We don't know what the trigger may be, and they're all around us. So the thing we can do to everybody that we encounter, we can give that love vibration to them, even if it's just a smile and a kind word. You never know when you're diffusing someone's anger by just saying,
right.
Good morning, how are you? You never know. You never know. One thing could change their whole vibration, their whole energy, their whole thought pattern. The flip side is you never know when that little nasty thing that you say could trigger somebody to pull out a gun and shoot someone because you don't know what frame of mind they're in. And you decide
right.
you want to snap
yeah.
at them because, what, they cut you off in traffic, or you want to
yeah.
snap at them because they didn't ring up your groceries fast enough, or, you know, all these little things that we do because we're irritated. You don't know when you are triggering somebody who is, that's just the last straw, and they
right.
just explode.
Yes.
So choose to be kind. Choose to give love. Choose to bring joy. Choose that, because you don't know who's that landmine. And I'm not saying live in fear. Live in awareness that your energy is affecting everybody's life that you touch every moment of every day. And so live consciously. That's how
yes.
we can diffuse some of these landmines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think people need to really understand self-regulation. There's no regulation in emotional instability. And we are most people live with their emotions. Decisions out of their emotions. They make choices out of their emotions. They don't make it logical. And, you know, if we could shift back to the globe and really understand, okay, and ponder a thought, not overthink it or underthink it, but just ponder a thought. If I say this, what is going to happen? If I do this, what is going to happen? If we can question ourselves every day, if I eat this hamburger, how is it going to affect me? I mean, just, you know, self-monitor. We have enough people out there impulsive. A lot of people are just totally impulsive, and they have no self-control, and you can clearly see that. Because,
yeah.
You know, it's all over. Like when you're driving down the road, like you said, you cannot see that. So, you know, how do we practice self-control? By alerting ourselves, you know, being totally aware. Being responsible, you know, for our own being, because, you know, let's just face it, in reality, we got all different types of people in there. I compare them like driving in the lanes of the road. You got the ones that are on the fast track. They stay doing 80 plus, okay? That means those people who are driving 80 plus miles an hour all the time, that's the way their minds are. They're not just rushing because they're late. That's the way they live. Then you got ones that go in and out of traffic making 80 or 90 miles an hour. They go all the way around traffic. They stay in the fast lane. They go to the middle lane. And they're constantly flying in front of you without any signal whatsoever. This is the way they live their life.
Right.
And then you got the normalcy. You got the ones that just, you know, hold it in the middle. Then you got the slow lane. The slow lane, they know they're all the way on the side. They're staying out of everybody else's way because they already know. They're like, I'm not going to be up there.
I already seen this thing.
You know, and we, you know, very seldom that we see a person have an accident in a slow lane. You only
right.
see it in the middle lane or the fast lane.
Right.
Okay, well, just compare this to life. Compare that to life. We have to slow down our processes, slow down our emotions. And again, you know, when we're younger, we're speed demons. We just constantly speed,
mm-hmm.
speed, speed. But then as we get older, we still take on too much. We take on too much responsibility. We live for the wrong things. We live for people, places, and things. And again, this is a part of life storms. You know, we want to, you know, we can only, if we're out there doing some better good, if you save one person, you've done your job. You can go lay your head on the pillow and say, I've done it. I've done it. I've done what I need to do. I mean, because we're not going to be able to save everyone. Because some people don't want to be saved.
They
want to stay on the fast train. They want to stay in the danger zone.
Yeah.
That's what they want to say. So, you know, and I mean, I love the what they call the, oh, my God, just the peace that we can just, you know, have if we would just take our time in life and not be anxious for nothing, not think that we are downtrodden again, enslaved or victim to anything.
Right.
Things will be totally different. They'll be totally different.
Yes.
So, there you have it.
Yes.
There you have it. So, it's a new year coming. It's a new year coming. You know what I'm saying? Hey, as I said, you know, do something good for yourself, because I think that's important, but better off do something good for another human being. We have enough people taking.
So, you know, this is what's supposed to be a time of joy and family gathering and love. For some people, it is so extremely stressful. It triggers childhood memories of stress. It triggers old wounds. It triggers old conflicts that are unresolved. And for some people, and I think I read somewhere where, I should be able to remember, but I think it's the time of year when people have more heart attacks.
Yeah.
So it's the high stress of being judged, you know, you didn't spend enough money on gifts or you didn't do whatever it was that people think you should be doing, and they judge you for that and condemn you for that. So it's a lot of stress-producing things that we're doing around a season that's supposed to be bringing joy and love and peace. So we have to rethink, what am I doing? And is it causing me stress, or is it bringing me peace? And if it's bringing me stress, then maybe I shouldn't be doing it. Maybe I need to celebrate differently, or maybe not celebrate at all. Maybe I need to be in one of those slow lanes where I just stay out of the way and therefore, I won't get into any collisions. I think we have to think about that. If this is a time that you find yourself in a high state of stress, and maybe you have memories of those family fights that happen every time there's a family gathering, that's not a lot of fun. So think about that. You know, what are the triggers? Maybe you're the one that fights every time you get together. So what is it inside that is still there? And how do you not cause it to trigger again, and how do you create the season that you want it to be? It's supposed to be one of peace. We got to take one last break, and when we come back,
okay.
If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1, that'll light your number up. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts. If you're on our switchboard now and you have a thought you'd like to share, press 1. Don't wait till 2 minutes before the be ready to go, because we will not open your mic.
Please subscribe to our channel so we can keep this thing going. Please subscribe
Absolutely.
To our channel so we can keep this thing going, because this is good.
Yes, go to Soulful Solutions on Facebook and YouTube and subscribe.
Yes.
You can get regular notices every time we're live. A notice will pop right up on your phone and let you know that you're live. We'll be right back after this last break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment, so stay with us.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature, so Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Tucson Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Tucson Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Self-awareness. There's no such thing, oh, I got enough. No, something like that, or how your mother and father treated you. But that's not self-awareness. Self-awareness is how you felt about those things. And, you know, dealing with those things, and most of all, staying safe. I think the word safe is really overused but misunderstood.
Right.
What is safe? What is safety?
Safety doesn't mean be in fear. And I think that's what people tend to think. It's like they think you're supposed to just cower in a corner and not face life. But
no.
That's not it. It's having the confidence to know that you are able to live a free life without fear. And if you are aware, if you are not suspicious of everybody, but observant of people,
mm-hmm.
when you can see by the look on someone's face, by the tone of voice, by body language, attitude, when somebody's not okay, when they're distressed or distraught or angry or full of anxiety, whatever it is.
Yes.
And you can know that you have the ability to change their energy by what you put forth. And I can say there have been many times that I have been stopped by a police, and I'm not saying that there are not those who do little nasty things to people and can cause great anxiety because they have killed people for having a broken taillight, you know, all of that. But these are still human beings. And I've literally been able to charm somebody out of writing me a ticket because you have to know that this person who stops you because it's their job, they're under high stress, high anxiety, a lot of negative programming, probably fearful. You shouldn't have to, but the reality is you have to calm them down. Because even though they might be speaking politely and all of that, inside of them is a fear of their life that has been built up by what they've seen and heard all day long. All day long they're listening to radio reports of the worst of human behavior. Somebody got shot, somebody got stabbed, somebody got robbed. And it's all day. And this was going on in the mind of somebody. They're just a human being like you. And so they stop you for, you know, oh, I missed a stop sign or something. But already they're hyped up and fearful. It's not your fault. But you have the power to take control of that situation by how you respond. Oh, good morning. How's your day going today? Cool. Oh, really? Oh, I see a ring on your finger. You're married, huh? I mean, chit-chat, little things. Ignore their nastiness because it's not personal. It's what they are going through. You can only do that if you know who you are. But if you are feeling like, you know, oh, they hate me, they're racist, they're this and that, they always hate our people, you know, whatever is going through your mind, what you're thinking about yourself in that situation, you'll be so focused mm-hmm. on you that you don't take the power to take control of that situation and affect them because you can. Because you have
right.
to see that they're not somebody who has the power to take your life. They're that scared little boy, scared little girl, trying to be tough, wearing, you know, body vests and armor and carrying guns and still scared of you, and all you are is driving a car. So that's
yeah.
who they are. You have to see it differently and take control and bring them back to their humanity so that they are able to respond without stress, because a lot of them are landmines. And that's why we
mm-hmm.
keep seeing this irrational behavior from police officers. And that's a whole nother story in itself. But we have a society that creates distress for people. Even hiring somebody and giving them a quota of arrests and tickets that they must make in order to generate funds for the cities that they work in. Yes, you are doing it. Every city, you know you're doing it. Those are one of those things that we must expose and stop, because those are creating conditions that cause people to explode. And who gets hurt in an explosion? Everybody. So we have to choose to stop doing that. We have to choose to stop doing that. It hurts everyone. It puts people in positions where they must be nasty to people And then that triggers nastiness back, and then one or both of them are carrying firearms, which kill people. So this tragedy that we keep producing, we can stop this. Mm-hmm. But every tragedy teaches us that we must stop it. That's why it keeps happening, so that we can wake up and choose to stop it. Choose to remove a system that makes people do nasty things to people in order to generate money for cities to run the government. There are other ways to generate revenue. We must find them. And this is what each encounter that's ugly and hurtful and distressing is teaching us. Stop doing this to human beings. Stop turning human beings into people that hurt people. Stop doing it.
Yeah, people are triggered, again, by so many different things on a daily basis. It doesn't matter what it is. You can get triggered just going to a grocery store.
Yeah.
You go in, you know, going to a bank. You know, right now, everything is heightened extremely. Everything is heightened extremely. And it's the holidays, and before the end of this month, you know, you're going to hear it. It's just inevitable. You know, no one can go anywhere just to just have and enjoy themselves without, you know, walking, breathing landmines. And these are people who have really death on their minds, Naima. They're not, you know, normal. They're not normal. They're people that really, again, I cannot explain it any less, is emotionally stagnant and numb. They don't value life because they don't value their own lives. They become not even emotional for themselves. So our goal is to, you know, remind everyone, you know, stay conscious, stay aware, and most of all, be aware of your being. You know, don't lose yourself in the midst of the chaos. It's easy.
You know, another
to
thing.
Lose yourself in the midst of it.
Another thing,
and that's not the healthiest thing for us to really practice on an everyday level, because mental illness is real. Okay, mental illness is not just a diagnosis, but it's also a lifestyle for some people.
Yeah, you know, another thing that I see that surfaces a lot during this season, when people are living under the distress of not having enough money and feeling like they can barely survive, and then being pressured to spend what they don't have, and being afraid that they're going to lose the love of the people who they need to love them, their spouses, their parents, their children, their siblings. If I don't have enough money, people will not love me. And if you're that wounded child that was abandoned or unloved or abused,
yes,
then this is another trigger. You know, I'm going to be mistreated because I don't have enough money. And, again, this is what the society is producing, this extreme focus on how much you should be spending or spending a lot or having a lot, and then children who may be growing up in homes where parents are homeless or unhoused or, you know, barely surviving, living in a shelter, and all of these things. You go to school, and children will tease you if you don't have clothing that looks appropriate, or if you smell bad because you've been living on the street. So there's all of that anxiety. What are we learning by these explosions? Rather than us mistreat people who don't have money, we should be helping. We should be ensuring that they're comfortable, that they have shelter and can take care of their personal hygiene. And we should be teaching compassion to those children who are cruelly teasing them, because where do you learn cruelty like that? That means someone treated you that way. That means someone made fun of you. That means someone made you feel bad. So instead of adults ignoring that, we need to pay attention and correct it.
Yes.
Whenever we see it happen, because that quiet child that may be a little smelly because they're homeless, and you can laugh at them and make fun of them and call them names, That's the landmine that one day explodes, and then everybody wonders how it happened. Oh, they were so quiet. Yes, but what did you see people doing to them? It's all around us. All the signs and all of the lessons that we're supposed to learn about how to treat each other, it's all around us. Every time a landmine explodes, we should be looking at, didn't we see it planted? Didn't we see it when that person was being teased or bullied or neglected or called names? Didn't we see it, and did we just overlook it until
right.
it exploded? So we have to be more aware of creating those situations. And
mm-hmm.
and diffusing them whenever we can. Whenever we can.
Extremely important. Extremely important. Again, self-awareness is so important. And, you know, one should treat oneself like they're your best friend. If you treat yourself like you're your best friend, you will always be able to fulfill your needs and not be so caught up in what somebody else is giving you or what somebody isn't giving you.
Yeah.
We live, you know, it's our society today, we live for validations. You know, we want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want, if we did a good job, we want somebody to say, oh, you did. You know, and I mean, if you know, it's that, look, that drum major effect. We want to be the one that's in front, you know, the one that has the ability to change. And, you know, the first thing you change yourself. You change yourself, you know, get comfortable with change because it will happen. There's nothing we can do that is going to, you know, stop time. Time brings on what? Changes. It's inevitable. But the worst thing to do, again, is to walk around living and dying inside. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to, you know, go through these changes. If you're in a place or a situation or something that is taking away your freedom, leave, escape, run away, any way you can, get out of there, you know, remove yourself. And if it's something that is encased inside of you that you think is taking your freedom from a past situation, make a decision, finalize it, say, okay, it happened. I am not what happens to me. I am not
that's
what happens to me. I am who I want to be and who I desire to be.
That was an experience.
You,
it's not an identity.
You make that decision. You make that decision because if you don't make it, it doesn't get made. It's not an appeal. It's not an injection. It's inside of you. It's been there for a long, long time, just waiting to be stimulated and awoken. So, you know, when I came on earlier, I came on a little strong. And, you know, I have to sometimes to really, you know, gain some type of attention to really put the issue out there because, unfortunately, you know, it is a serious epidemic that we are dealing with. And, you know, people ignore it because, oh, it's not me. It's not mine. You know, it's not me. It's not mine. I'm not worried about it. But then when it happens next door, that means it's getting closer.
Yeah.
So, you know, be mindful. Be mindful.
Be aware. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know,
be mindful.
I remember listening to this. Matter of fact, it was the song a little girl sang at a youth talent competition. I think it's a gospel song, but it's the words are, sometimes you need to encourage yourself. And I think about that song a lot because sometimes you do. You need to encourage yourself. You may not get that person that says, oh, great job. You may not get that person that says, oh, you look pretty today. You may not get that person that gives you the words you want to hear. No one may say, I love you. You need to say it to yourself. You need to love yourself and feel worthy of it. And it might not come from the people that you needed to come from. It might not come from your parents. You might have had parents that weren't verbally or physically demonstrative of affection of any kind. You know, and that can be painful. That's what a lot of our young and old people are going through right now, never having received validation from the ones who raised them or the ones who were raised with them, their siblings or their peers. You know, you may not have been the one who was considered, you know, the smart child or the pretty child or the child that was going to succeed, but you got to tell yourself that that's who you are. You define you. And it is challenging when you don't hear it from the outside, but you have to hear it from the inside. You have to say it to yourself so that you hear it on the inside. And that is what can help transform your inside.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to do this for us. We have to do this for ourselves.
That's so very important. Self-rescue. You be your own lifeguard. I'm telling you.
Your own lifeguard.
Because no one, I'm serious. People will say, I'm supportive, okay. That's just added to you, to your lifeguard. That's just an addition. But the overall thing is that when I wake up every day, I need to choose where I'm going. I need to choose what I'm thinking. I need to choose how I'm going to feel. Do not allow your choice not to be heard. Don't swallow it.
Yes.
It's worth every bit of you. You are so worthy of it. You're worthy, even in your anger, even in your guilt, even in your grief. I don't care from your past to your present to your future. You're worthy of love. So, you know, let that love heal from the inside out. Let it put it on like a cloak and get comfortable with it. And love you. Just love you for once. Try it. Don't let fear make you think that you're not worthy of love, because that's not true. That's a lie. And you are tired of living lies, and you know it.
Yeah,
you know you're tired of living lies. Love yourself for who you are. So I love me for who I am. It doesn't matter if you're fat, skinny, ugly, cute. It don't matter. Love.
You're perfect as you were created by our Creator. Yes.
I'm telling you, these life storms are real.
Yes.
We create life storms sometimes, too, because we don't love ourselves, and we get caught up. And if somebody ever tells us they don't want us, I don't love you, I'll reject you, you fall apart like tissue paper, wet tissue paper.
I'm so sorry, that's not an option. And it's difficult, you know, when
it's not an option.
when you haven't learned the tools of how to heal yourself, it's a challenge.
Yes.
That's what people need to learn, are the tools to self-heal.
Yes.
And it doesn't come from outside. It's not the amount of money that you have or the things that you have. And that's what makes people who get out here and steal and carjack and everything, you think something that you have is going to make you feel better inside, and it doesn't. The hole that's in your heart is still going to be there. You have to heal it from the inside. It's not something you have on the outside. It's not something you put on. It's not something you possess. It's not a person. It's your own self-love. That's what we're all looking for.
Absolutely. Well, we want to thank you. And again, you know, we're here every Thursday, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And YouTube, subscribe to our channel. Let us know what you think about the Female Solution and Solutions with Dr. Deb, because it is extremely important that we are heard, but most of all, that we are helping. You know what I'm saying? We want to help. We want to assist. If we can save anyone, if I save one, I've done my job. I am a therapist. It's my career. So if you need any help, again, leave us a message, and we will surely help you. Thank you, Facebook. Thank you, Queen Zelda, Vienna, Calaberry, Rejoice, Shamali, Mali, that said you got healed from AIDS. Thank you so much for sharing that information with us. Thank you. so much, and y'all have a spectacular day. And I'm not...
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.